Coming up on Hometown Alaska, host Kim Sherry visits Drool Central, a local business making dog treats using locally sourced ingredients like wild Alaska salmon and Alaska-grown veggies. We'll meet the owner and hear about her journey from cooking for humans to finding her current passion. We'll also hear about her work with the Anchorage School District's Adult Community Transition Program. And on State of Art, join me, Ammon Swenson, for a visit to the Anchorage Museum, where I sit down with artist Duke Russell to discuss his current exhibit called Everyday Anchorage. It features Russell's paintings of local landmarks, past and present, along with the photos of Ward Wells, whose photos captured the city's history between the 1940s and 70s. That's all coming up next on Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kim Sherry. For many of us, our pets are family, so it's no surprise we love celebrating them with healthy treats and a few special indulgences. Today we're visiting with Daisy Nicholas of Drool Central, Anchorage's own mom and pup Barkery, to learn how one local entrepreneur turned her passion for dogs into a thriving business while giving back to the community through a unique partnership with Anchorage's School District's ACT program. We'll talk about dog treats, entrepreneurship, pet nutrition, and why this one-of-a-kind bakery has become a favorite destination for Alaska's four-legged friends and the people who love them. Hi, Daisy.
Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where did you grow up and what brought you to Alaska?
Actually, the most impactful stage of my life is when I established my business. You know, before this, I was kind of a lost. I did several jobs, admin and all, which I hated. And then I went to culinary school. And then from there, I weaved the path to having, I said, I'm going to have a business. You know, I've always wanted to have a business. So it has become more meaningful to me over the years. And that's how I view my life. You know, now it's like, where did I make the most impact of my life? And that's the most important part of my life now.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to Alaska?
What brought me to Alaska? I visited Alaska a long time ago, I think 1993. My former boyfriend then from Norway was flying for Haines Airways. That was a long time ago. I was here for the weekend. I was in Southeast Alaska and experienced the midnight sun. And I was so impressed. I said, I love this. And then when I was in culinary school, and I go, I want to work, you know, somewhere else, start an adventure for myself. I go, Alaska came to mind, and I applied for a job, and then I got an offer at McKinley Chalet. Mm. And at that time, you're only getting paid like $8. an hour, and I was like, no way. But then the executive chef said, well, let me see the offer. It has free boarding. It has free food. You'll be able to save money, you know. And he was right, because, you know, I don't drink. I don't, you know, all that stuff. I was able to save money at $8 an hour. You know, oh, God, that was in 1997. And then from there, you know, every summer for four seasons, I worked in several of the hotels. Sometimes there was one summer I did a couple of jobs. I worked at Princess, and then I worked at Grand Denali. So I was up on my feet for like 16 hours. Mm-hmm. No fun.
So have dogs always been a big part of your life? Is that an inspiration for starting?
Yeah, I grew up with pets, with different kinds of pets, you know. And, but it has been, you know, I kind of live like a hobo for some years, you know, because after I moved to, you know, from LA, I went from different places. When I went to culinary school, I moved so much, you know, I followed the jobs. Mm-hmm. I almost went to Antarctica at one point.
Wow.
But then they're paying at $12 an hour and no overtime. I go, no way would I go over there for $12 an hour without any overtime. What are you going to do? You know? So I go, I got to fuck. So and then I got lodge jobs here in Alaska. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Dallas, you know, my first yellow lab. And actually, when I got Dallas, that settled me. Mm-hmm. You know, that made me settle to one place. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, I know where I am now. I know how to start my life with my dog. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, it's kind of snowballed to, I'm done with lodge, you know, cooking for lodges, mm-hmm. remote lodges. And said, I'm going to start something. I've always wanted to start something. I wanted to start pastries for humans. But at that time, there's just like hurdles, permitting this. I said, oh my God, you know, it's like, huh. And then I Googled and I go, you know, because I was already cooking for my dog. Mm-hmm. There's a niche that I can do. So I started and I started small.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to try this out. And I said, oh, I made $75 today, you know, just selling treats. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, I didn't know what to sell, but I said, it has to be Alaska. Everything was playing in my mind. One of the guests at the Kodiak Lodge that I worked is a fish purveyor. Mm-hmm. And said, I'll give you some samples and then you play with it. Okay, and so I play with it, you know, little by little, and then I sell it. Oh, people like it. And then he will tell me, okay, I have skins. Do you wanna do skins? Okay. He's like, I have livers. Do you wanna do livers? Okay. He's like, so you know, I just experimented along the way because I have a culinary background.
Mm-hmm. And did your culinary background then really help with what you make for the pet treats as well?
Yeah. It was a lot of encouragement to know that I have that background, mm-hmm. and I can develop my skill from there. Because, I mean, I don't want to be a treat company. I am not a treat company until now, and I keep telling that to people because I would get bored doing the same bloody thing all the time. You know, so I said, you know, I have this culinary background. Mm-hmm. So I can make different products. The one best thing is that, like, if there's a sale of chicken, mm-hmm. you know, hey, guys, I'm doing home, you know, human grade stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So if there's a sale of chicken, oh, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I see there's sales of chicken feet. I can do this. You know, sale of beef, sale of this. You know, I use them. Mm-hmm. And then... like recently this week or last week, it's like my fish purveyor go, we got some pollock. Mm. Pollock? Okay.
So what did you make with the pollock?
So the pollock, they've already skinned them and all, mm-hmm. so they're fillets. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me over 100 pounds and wow. I go, oh, they're fresh.
Yeah.
You know, they're fresh. And but for some reason, you know, they don't want to sell it, or maybe they're a bit mushy.
Sure.
So I go, well, I cannot cut this into smaller pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just me. So I just dehydrated them. Mm-hmm. And then I started selling them. The dogs love it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I make use mm-hmm. of what's available.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
And then turn them into products that the dogs can love.
So how long ago was that $75 day where you first started?
Oh, that was in 2013.
Okay. So, and then how has the business grown since then?
The business has grown a lot. It has been a crawl space. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my first, that was $75 a day when I started at selling to my friends. And then I started selling to the small market in Sears Mall mm-hmm. a long time ago. So it's like that was when we still have Sears Mall. So, and then when South Anchorage Farmers Market started, so I was able to get in there. And then my first day was like, oh, I made $450, you know, and that's a 5 hour. It's like, I am in business.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then from then on, my sales increased, you know, every Saturday, you know.
And you know, so just, right now, we're sitting in your Barkery right now, which is a brick and mortar shop.
Yeah.
Did you always have this or
no.
did this come much later?
Yeah. So I started in 2013. And since I have established a clientele, they cannot find me in the winter. Okay. So during the holidays, I go to UAA, craft shows. Mm-hmm. I go to Rabbit Creek, Tomshu, you know. But I basically do not have a place in the winter. And then so I started thinking, you know, I need a place. Mm-hmm. Well, it's an all-in-one place. You know, I will have my shop. I will have my little production. Mm-hmm. I'll have a space for me and my puppy. Mm-hmm. And I have this vision in my mind already. I don't want like an industrial looking things. I hate minimals. Yeah. I try that. They don't like me because I do a lot of fish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fish
I get that.
And dogs. Yeah. They don't want me. You know, it's like, all right, I have to be different. So in my mind, that's a vintage house. It has to be like a house with a fence yard, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then I found this. You know, I found it in Craigslist. You know, I went down there and then it's like, okay, I want it. Put my deposit.
And when was that?
That was 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it was still kind of a baby shop. It is.
You know, it is. It has been a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, it has been a challenge. I'm not exactly on Main Street, you know. It's just like a few steps from Main Street.
Right.
It's in Spinard. It's not in the best neighborhood, but my street is fine. So it has been, the foot traffic has been very challenging. But when I do some kind of fundraising, like I did a fundraising for the animal shelter maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
So that is actually how I met you for the very first time.
Is that so?
My daughter was the one who did that fundraiser
for
Service High School, and she asked you to donate your products, and
did. Yeah.
And so I saw Drool Central, and I was like, well, that is a really interesting business.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's how I found out about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I try to be of help to the animal community, to the pet rescues, the animal shelter, whatever I can do, and try to donate. Especially, I always tell them if it's animal related or pet related, I will donate. So I just want to help as much as the community because they have helped me be in business.
Absolutely.
Even though it's a hurdle, you know, it's one step at a time. I have found myself like, oh, I'm one step ahead.
Oh.
And then something will happen.
Yeah.
2 steps backward.
Yeah.
It's always like that, like recently. 1 step ahead. It's like, this is most, some of my customers already know this because I told them. It's like, when was that, 3 weeks ago? It's like the week where I paid off my van. And for some reason, it just accelerated on the parking lot. It's just me. And then it swerved into the Jersey barrier.
Oh, no.
It was totaled.
Oh.
And I was just in shock and it was just replaying in my mind. What the hell happened? It's like, and the mechanic said that, well, we cannot determine because the harness is destroyed, suspension is destroyed, A-frame is destroyed, totally destroyed. So I said, I just paid it off. So I was so heartbroken. But one good thing is like, you know, like my insurance agent gave me a link, you know. So it's like, go over there. Then it turned out the owner is someone I used to know. And so he gave me a discount.
Aww.
So now I have, I have that. So, you know, it's always like that. In my business, in my life, it's like I get 1 step ahead and then 2 step backwards.
Yep.
It's like, what the heck? You know, but I've always kind of invoked the universe. I know it's not, you know, I heard this also in Bruce Lee. I said, I've always thought about it, talked about it. It's like, you know, it's not going to be an easy life, but you give me strength to cope with it.
And through every challenge you've overcome.
Yes.
And you're still going here.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm still here, folks.
So when you first started the Barkery,
yes.
did your clients understand the idea of having a dog bakery, or did you have to educate people to what the importance of it was?
Yeah, they don't really understand, you know, some of them get it, but some of them not. Some people said, you have to make kibble company. I'm sorry to stay away from kibble, you know. It's like kibbles, they were made for the convenience of people, mm-hmm. you know. And I said, no, I have this idea and I'm applying it. It's all fresh bake, fresh frozen. It's natural. It's like us eating, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I'm providing. You know, I'm not providing for some product that's been sitting on the shelf for 2 years, okay? And it's been sitting there for 2 years because it's laden with all these preservatives. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't want that. I want something like a doggy cafe, a doggy bistro, a doggy mm-hmm. bakery. That's why I want different products. I have so many products. Mm-hmm. Some of my advisors said, you have so many products. Because some of my advisors still think I'm a treat company. And I keep telling them, mm-hmm. I'm not a treat company. You know, that's why I have several products. You know, like when you go to a bakery, mm-hmm. are you finding 3 pastries? No, you're finding different things. You're finding something that's like the dough, you know, they make one dough and recycle. Renewed to different kinds of products. Mm-hmm. They just put a mm-hmm. chocolate here, a cream cheese here, and then they call it different things. That's me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a salmon. You know, I'm not, you know, you don't come here and just look at a salmon. You come here and look, oh, I turn it into a patty. Mm-hmm. I turn it with a carrot, with Alaska-grown carrots, folks. I use Rempel Farms. Are mostly Alaska-grown mm-hmm. produce whenever it's available. Mm-hmm. So I turn it into something. I turn it into a meal. I turn it into tupper. So I called it pescadats. Mm-hmm. And then I turn it into fresh frozen stuff. There was a time I turned it into a popsicle. So it's touching the different ways, mm-hmm. different techniques of how I can improve on a certain species. Mm-hmm. A certain protein. Mm-hmm.
Looking back, is there anything you wish you knew before you started the business?
Yeah, we can, you know, we always try to wish back that if only things were different, if only I have more money, if only, but it's too late, you know.
Right.
So I just, you know, headed forward because you cannot catch what's the past. Mm-hmm. So I just move forward. And what I have always put myself in is have a radar. My radar is on mm-hmm. constantly. You know, I may look kind of stupid to some people, but my radar is up. You know, it's like if somebody mentions some kind and I see that opportunity, mm-hmm. I said, that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I grab it and I ask more questions, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may sound so stupid, but I'm looking for an answer mm-hmm. that I can go, you know, I can go and kind of use it
or
be a part of it and, you know, and all that. So I always look for opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, for opportunities to make more product, for opportunities to develop something mm-hmm. or a partner with yeah. or something like that.
Yeah. So when a customer walks through your door for the first time and they've never been here before, what will they experience when they come in?
Unlike other places, you will feel warmth and welcome. Have you been to other places where it's like people are so cold? They're really having a bad day and you don't want to be around them, you know? No, not me. I mean, even if I'm sick or what, you know, I try, hi, how are you? And, you know, for my customers who's been around me for a while. Do you want some cookie? Do you want some tea? Sometimes I have lunch. Do you want some lunch? You know, and sometimes I had some regular customers. Their dog died. You know, I've known the dog for years. And it's like, all right, sit down. Let's have a tea mm-hmm. and coffee. Or, you know, I'll give them something. That's my approach, mm-hmm. you know. They're dogs, mm-hmm. and I cherish them. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference when you walk in here. You are welcome. Your dogs are welcome. Your dogs get free samples sometimes more than 3 samples. They demand it. When they come here, oh, you would see the dogs when they come here. You know, they're not even at the door. You just hear them barking, barking.
They recognize the building. They just know barge. They know where they are.
They just barge and they're just like, boom, we want some treats. Even at the market, they do that. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this one dog, especially a chocolate lab. He passed away, T-Bone. You know, I was busy at the market. Next thing you know, it's like, and then I'm like, T-Bone, what are you doing here? He's like, where are your parents? And then here's the mom. It's like, what? Oh my God, he just took off. I go, don't worry, he's not going anywhere. Yeah. He just sat there. I just give him treats.
It sounds like the dogs know you better than the people know
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. You know, the dogs who have known me for a long time, they can smell me a mile away. And no, it's true. I go to the dog park. Next thing you know, there was a dog behind me. And I look, is that you, Charlie? It's like, and then he'd wag his tail. It's like, well, when did you come wash mom? And then there's some dogs on the trail. They see me and they sit in front of me. And sometimes some of them, they look the same and I wasn't sure. And then I see their parents. Did you go to the market? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. The dog knows me. So the dog knows me. Even if you go to the South Anchorage Farmers Market, the parents are complaining because the first thing the dogs want to be out in the car is they drag their parents to my booth. The parents are just complaining, oh God, they just want to be here.
The dogs know what they want.
Yes.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm host Kim Sherry. After the break, we'll continue to chat with Daisy Nicholas, owner of Drule Central. Welcome back to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Kim Sherry. If your best friend has 4 paws and a wagging tail, this next conversation is for you. So Daisy, when I walked into your shop, I mean, I actually thought I was coming into some kind of cafe. It's brightly colored. There's these beautiful displays of really professionally packaged items. There's, you know, Drule special of the day on the chalkboard. This is just a really sweet little shop. What are your most popular, you know, treats or bakery items?
Well, you know, thank you very much for that compliment. Actually, that's part of my vision. I don't want it to look industrialized. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to look like this is for animals. No, I want it to look like I have my clients who are special. They would go and be welcome into a place that's warm, that's lively, you know, that's vibrant, that offers a lot of things despite being tiny. Mm-hmm. It's special. I want it to be unique. I always want myself to be different, you know, my shop to be different. You know, in the winter that is open, you know, the display refrigerator is open with the fresh baked items. But because in the summer I don't get any foot traffic, so I just like close that off. But, you know, in the busy season I will have different kinds of pizzas, mm-hmm. you know, different types of patties and all that. And I have actually introduced homemade stuff for people, for humans, folks. So pastries, and sometimes I make some meals, you know, for humans also, because I have a culinary, background. And I used to cook for humans. And that's how I explain to people. And they get the thrill out of it. Well, it's true. I used to cook for humans. So the essence is, uniqueness is part of it, and it's a homey feeling. It will take you to a different vibe. It's a, you know, that's what I'm bringing. I don't want any, like, you go to, you know, the, I'm not going to say it, all those other stores where it's so industrialized. Mm-hmm. Here, pets are welcome. This is their home. So when they come here, they think they own the place.
I bet. Yeah. Do the dogs have any favorite flavors?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the one thing of the years, what I've noticed is some dogs like everything, mm-hmm. Some dogs don't like anything. Some dogs have allergies. So I have to come up with different kinds of products. The chips, my category chips that falls under the skins, you know, the jerkies. Mm-hmm. They're mostly single ingredient. Mm-hmm. They're very popular. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling, you know, I had to raise the price on the chips, especially on the skins, because all these years that I've been doing it, I wasn't really charging enough. Mm-hmm. And they were so tedious. Mm-hmm. Because I have to go through each skin, try to remove the excess flesh and bones and all that. And then, you know, you dehydrate them for 22 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you package it. It just, I was another, at one point, you know, my advisors then was telling me, you have to raise the price. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, reluctantly. And I have to explain with apologies.
Right.
That, sorry, I have to raise the price, right. You know, all these years. I mean, I'm busting, you know, I'm busting my B for no profit, you know, but now I do. So they love the skins. They love the chips, you know, the cojitos. People love that. I coined the words, by the way, my products, a lot of my product names are, I coined them.
Yeah. So what is cojitos?
Cojitos is the salmon jerky.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like pescadats, they're the salmon tappers or mm-hmm. cod or halibut. Mm-hmm. So meals, my frozen meals. So chicken, beef, salmon. It has vegetables, you know, it has Alaska golden carrots whenever it's available. Mm-hmm. So those are very popular. I have subscribers for that. I mm-hmm. deliver to them or they pick up. Mm-hmm. The fresh baked patties, mm-hmm. you know, salmon, beef, you know, turkey tart, mm-hmm. you know, I have those. But I also have dogs who will eat anything. Yeah. You know, whatever I offer, they yeah. just eat anything.
It's kind of like children.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, some dogs, they don't want to eat because of the allergies. Mm. That's why I have to, you know, I said that's why I have to develop different kinds of products. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if I just stay with fish, I'd be out of business. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time some years back, I didn't have cod skins for 3 years. Hmm. That's why I had to come up with different products.
Right. You have to have a variety.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now it's like my friend who also another treat company. And she, you know, she's not getting a lot of salmon.
So you mentioned subscriptions.
Yes.
You actually do subscriptions for like dog meals and you deliver them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I have, and you know, I deliver them. You know, I have one, he's got, I think, three dogs, so I deliver it on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And then I have some who come by and pick them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I offered it. I haven't really, a big part of my business hasn't, you know, the issue of finances. So I haven't really marketed myself, although I kind of know how to angle myself to get some, you know, to get noticed sometimes, mm-hmm. but I don't have the means to pay for advertising.
Sure.
So there's a lot of locals who hasn't heard of me.
Right. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in business for 13 years. We haven't heard about you.
Well, and that's where markets like, you know, that South Market come in handy because people are just walking by and they're like, well, what's this business? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a great place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do holiday markets too, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So that's where we found you. So now I have this Barkery, but the problem is that, you know, I don't get the foot traffic. But in the winter, I do get some traffic in the winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you, beyond the baked treats, do you do birthday cakes or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, I just had a pickup yesterday. Was it yesterday or the other day? Oh, yesterday. I don't know. Days run together. You know. Yeah, it's like for Louis. Mm-hmm. So where's my phone? I'll have to show you. So what it is, they order online.
Yeah.
You know, so at this time or for quite a while, I have only one flavor, the pumpkin chicken. The mm-hmm. pumpkin chicken is a very popular, you know, flavor. So I have a pumpkin chicken muffins, you know, that sells all the time. And then I made them into a cake. And mm-hmm. then I put, you know, cream cheese. Mm-hmm. And then I write their names and all that. And then I put different kinds of Drool Central treats.
Oh.
I have to show you the picture. It's in my website. But so that's popular. Mm-hmm. And then some, you know, some customers will ask me for, you know, no chicken, please. Okay, so I'll give them salmon and sweet potatoes. And mm-hmm. I just got a review, Google review, and she was happy Aww. With the salmon and sweet potatoes. So, yeah, I do those, you know, special things. And I have some customers who will do, can you make something, you know, like a little muffin or a little something? Okay, I'll do that. You know, so when I have time, I'm, you know, yeah. I make it. I have all these things that I want to introduce.
Sure.
But it's just me.
Yeah. It's just you.
Yeah, it's just me. But it's just me. But lately, the last 4 weeks, I now have Gino. Mm-hmm. So we're transitioning to ACT.
Okay, so I will ask you about that.
Yeah, because Gino was a graduate of the ACT program.
So one of the things that I love about this partnership you have yeah. is that you're working with the ACT program, which yeah. runs through the Anchorage School District.
Right.
So for people not familiar, can you explain to listeners what the ACT program is?
Yes, I have to say that in verbatim what it is. Because they are very precise about their verbiage. But the ACT program, we started it in 2022. You know, for a couple of years, there's a lull because they had a shortage of staff. Mm-hmm. Because a teacher has to come here mm-hmm. to accompany the students. So the coordinator said to me early this year that we're going to get together and see how we can get the program again, mm-hmm. you know, because I think they're still having some problems with staffing. Mm. But the big thing with the 2 years that we have worked together is Gino graduated mm-hmm. and Gino is one special student mm-hmm. because they were telling me that Gino was kind of problematic, you know, at that time. So when Gino came here, we were gonna, you know, I was going to give him some labeling stuff. And then he saw the kitchen. Mm. He just jumped into the kitchen. He just wanted to be in the kitchen. I go, oh, okay. Then I started giving him things to do in the kitchen. He wants to be in the kitchen. Hmm. I mean, Gino is a gem. Mm. But anyway, let me say what the ACT program is. So we had a straight you know, for 2 years, we're working with them, and then it will be revived again, you know, later part of this year. So it is about, let me see, guys, because, so what it is it's a secondary, post-secondary schooling for like 18 to 22 year-old youths who's autistic or has some mental mm-hmm. development issues. And to take them to job sites for job training. Since I have one of my customers then is the coordinator of the program. So she asked me, you know, it's like, I have some students. Maybe we can work together on this. Sure. Because I said, why not? You mm-hmm. know, so it's only for 2 hours, mm-hmm. you know, during the school year, mm-hmm. A day. So they were here for two to three times a week, mm-hmm. 2 hours each. And so we did it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good. It was so rewarding. Mm-hmm. You know, to help them. You know, it was crazy when they're here.
What kind of tasks would you give them to do?
Oh, different tasks. You know, the more I know the student. Mm-hmm. The more I see where their talents are mm-hmm. or where their interests are. Like, for example, Gino. He wants to be in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I gave Gino all kitchen stuff. He's happy. But it's also there's something in the kitchen that, kitchen jobs that he likes. Like, he likes work with kind of machines. So the food processor, he's, you know, I just leave him, you know. He knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And he does it accurately and beautifully. And but I check on him once in a while because mm-hmm. he gets distracted. He started singing, you know, and dancing. I say, Gino, gotta work. And then Gino starts to spit out all this litany from the TV and radio shows. He falls. Oh my God. I get some energy. I don't have to turn on any radio. So, and then there's some students who's got very nice penmanship. So I said, okay, here, write the cards or write something. And there are some students who, you know, labeling, you know, some not so good, but some can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I'll show them how to label. This is the way how you do it. Get the store. So I'm trying to train them. It's like, okay, we're going to open the store, you know, at noon. So get the store ready, mm-hmm. get it cleaned up, presentable, and all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these different tasks. And then we also do some kind of assembly line. So when we do the fresh frozen meals, you know, like Gina would have done all the pureeing of the veggies and the salmon and all that. So we need to put them in containers. So they have a line, mm-hmm. you know, someone would scoop it into the container. And then put the lid on, and then someone will put the labels on and all that.
It sounds like they're getting a lot of really useful
yes.
work skills.
Yeah, yeah.
And what has working with these students meant to you personally and to your business?
It has helped me a lot more with my compassion. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I want my business to be known not just a business. I mean, I found my calling. You know, I love the dogs, but I also want to be a part of the community. Mm-hmm. I want to serve the community in the best way I could. Mm-hmm. And so I think my business is still around because most of the people know that I'm not here for profit. Mm-hmm. I'm very charitable or yeah. generous,
yeah.
even with giving treats to the dogs.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
parents will stop me. Stop! Don't give them any more treats. They're going to be pooping.
What would you say to other local businesses that might be considering partnering with the ACT program?
You can find a gem. Like Gino. Gino is a gem. I mean, he only works 2 hours, but I can get a lot from those 2 hours, apart from his singing and dancing, you know. I just have, start working, okay. It's a gem, you know. These kids, you have to have kind of a sixth sense to see their talent. Mm-hmm. Because the more you know them, the more their talents will shine. You know, like Gino, now he wants to go because part of his pay is that, okay, we'll make lunch. Mm-hmm. And then he'll tell me, what are we going to make? That's the first thing he walks in. You know, what are we going to cook today? I make pesto? See, he sees the basil. We make pesto? Okay, we'll make pesto. I mean, you know, everybody needs a chance, mm-hmm. a second chance for these students. Mm-hmm. And, you'll never know this job. I mean, it's like, hey, I have some people who worked with me that is just like, sometimes I just want to be like, oh my God, why can't you scale properly? You know, so-called normal people can't even scale, mm-hmm. use the scale properly. It's like, don't even want to listen, you know? But it's like, this kid's like Gino, he's very accurate mm-hmm. and he does it more beautiful than I do. It's like, man, you did that more beautiful than I do. I mean, really, I mean, it's like, I'm so, you know, I'm so impressed with the talent. You have to build that talent mm-hmm. because it shines. Mm-hmm. When you give them the patience, mm-hmm. they shine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What do you love the most about serving Anchorage's pet community?
I make friends, you know, with the pets especially. I mean, what makes me happy is that, you know, like when they see me on the trail, they know me. When they see me at the market, they give me importance. You know, it's like how some people, they just ignore you. But the dogs who know me, they just like, they just love me, you know. And any dogs, I get some kind of messages or comments from some of my customers and said, it's so good that the dog learned to, you know you. Mm-hmm. You know, that is as if they know that the dogs knowing me will get all that love.
Mm-hmm.
And which is true, because mm-hmm. I just welcome them. Mm-hmm. That's the best part, you know. I just give them love. It's not a perfunctory performance, because some people only love their dog, but they hate other dogs.
Right.
No, you know, so I welcome your
you
dog.
You love them all.
I love even the one who bit me on the nose.
Wow.
Well, I was too lovey-dovey.
Right. We have to learn their signs, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Where do you see Drool Central going in the next 5 years?
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of jump the crawl space, you know, the crawl stage. I probably, despite me having this vision of this vintage house and all, if only I can get this property and put it in a better location, I think I will have a better foot traffic. But I won't change a thing about that kind of vision of a welcoming place. But maybe, you know, depending on my finances and all that, a little bigger so I can have some kind of bigger events, mm-hmm. you know, bigger fundraising mm-hmm. and all that. It's, you know, it's still that's my vision. And I know when I have that concrete vision, it will come.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the asking the universe to come here, you know, help me, you know, I've done this ABC and if you can give me a shot, you know, I can make it. And my argument to the universe is that, all right, you give me the shot, I could do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could do more good things,
mm-hmm.
you know. Unlike people who have all the money in the world and they just destroy the world, you know. I want to do more good things, you know, especially for the animals, you know. That's what I want to do.
Daisy, I want to thank you so much for having us to your Barkery today. It was a pleasure talking to you and learning about you and your business. And I just wish you the best of luck.
Yes, I'm so excited.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. I'm host Kim Sherry. After the break, we'll be back with State of Art.
From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Artist Duke Russell's work often focuses on recognizable city landmarks, either past or present, painted with a childlike whimsy while maintaining a sense of stylized realism. From diners to dive bars, Russell wants to show his version of Anchorage, a city he has a complex relationship with. Coming up, we'll hear about Russell's current exhibit at the Anchorage Museum. It's called Everyday Anchorage and showcases Russell's paintings over the years combined with the photographs of Ward Wells, whose images from the 1940s through the 70s give a glimpse into the city's past. The exhibition is as much a reflection of Anchorage as it is on Russell's past work and life in the city. Russell's history with Anchorage and his art go back to the early 70s when he came to Alaska when he was a kid. He recalls selling his early paintings to Japanese tourists at the visitor center downtown.
And I kept doing that, and I would always have a couple of bucks in my pocket. I'd go down to Orange Julius, play pinball, have a drink, be with the cool kids, and I was like a player. So that's actually how I got hooked with this idea of, like, it wasn't so much, the rarefied air of art or being an artist. It was more, this is like a hustle, right? I had all this autonomy. I was exercising my artistic skills and selling my work, even if it was for a dollar or two. I felt like I had arrived at a place where I just blossomed, you know. I had a caretaker who had art materials, Olive Bell. She was a friend of my dad's, and I just you know, I just remember the smell of the old gift shops. They smelt of leather and of bone, and just there was no like off-gassing of plastics and things of that nature. And I had a couple of drawings in there, and I'd go there every day to check on whether or not it sold. I had like this drawing of a polar bear, you know, it was $5, you know, and I pretty much went in there every day to see if somebody had bought it, you know. Things like that were very memorable.
As time went on, Russell realized he needed to forge his own path to continue the hustle.
Like when I was first coming up, like when I was 20 or something, it was not popular to do narrative work like this. It was not popular to do representational art. It was all about conceptual art. It was all about installations. And I never went to art school or anything, and I didn't feel as clever as some of that. You know, I was like, I have to make money at this. It's like my job in a way to make it like something that's going to have value in some way. And the only kind of way I could see doing it is like my paintings have to be labored. It has to take time. I have to do it with care. I have to do it with, you know, with detail and accuracy of some kind. And, you know, putting people in the painting or, you know, just being satisfied with kind of doing kind of an obvious sort of cityscape or like including like, you know, people are really crazy about what was there before that and stuff. You know, that's not really a high art sort of standard. You know what I mean? You know, it's a very common Joe sort of thing to think about or talk about. I was very intrigued by R. Crumb and Daniel Clowes, both adult contemporary graphic novelists or underground comics. And what they did, they spoke the truth about how people were, and they drew people how they were, warts and all. And I wanted to do that in my own way. I wanted to use Anchorage as a place because I thought it was really interesting and full of characters. I was going to try to do that very thing. And so that's what the thing, the star that I was reaching for. So I wanted to document something real. And so with this like Fourth Avenue painting, that took me 3 months. You know, I drew all the cars on Bristol board and cut them out and placed them around the painting before I glued them down. Same with the people, right? So I'm like little play figures. I put them in spots where I thought it would look right. But it was a lot of agonizing over exactly where they would go. So I wanted to like just do it the very best that I can and, you know, like push it. And I'm still kind of doing that. To me, it's like you think it's done. Let's, you know, it's not sort of like overdoing it. It's just like, you know, pushing these edges and these contrasts in a way to where it makes it more refined and makes it better, I think, you know.
The inspiration to pair his work with the photos of Ward Wells stemmed from a question Russell was asking himself about the history of Spinard and what makes it such a unique pocket of Anchorage.
I started looking at his collection of over 26,000 images that he donated to the museum, and I started seeing dancers from the burlesque clubs. I started seeing, you know, musicians and all of these crazy like these. They were really into these exotic animals and stuff, taking pictures or during For Rendezvous. You know, Laurel and Hardy, the actress who played Aunt Jemima. You know, Davy Crockett. All these people would come up as a promotional thing. It was a much bigger deal. Fur Rendez was a giant winter festival, and they had all these entertainers, and it was just a huge deal that brought everybody into town. So you started getting the idea or you get the sense of what life was like back in the day. You know, so that inspired me to continue looking through his collection, and I was just looking for oddities, to be truthful. I mean, and this pure gold collection is just kind of sitting there, and nobody really kind of knows of it because it wasn't high art. You know, it was just kind of rando pictures of what Anchorage, you know, kind of used to be like.
Russell describes one of his favorite photos prominently displayed in the exhibit.
It's Fourth Avenue, probably, I'm guessing, 4th and B. And that was before the earthquake. It was 1955. And you've got this man in a black hood. He's wearing a black hood over his head. He's got a sandwich sign over his body saying, "Watch wrestling every Saturday, 9 p.m. on KTVA, sponsored by Heidelberg." And he's carrying two boxes, hopefully they're empty, of Heidelberg beer. So he's got like six cases of beer boxes holding them and walking down there. He's got wrestling shoes on with black socks, and his legs are exposed, and you can't even see if he's got shorts on. I'm hoping he does have shorts on, but his sandwich sign is kind of covering that a little bit, you know, and his top too. It looks like he doesn't have a shirt on either. So it is pretty... It's pretty provocative for 1955, walking down Fourth Avenue. And then there's pedestrians, there's men, you know, in these high-waisted chinos, you know, dress shirts, women in their dresses and their sort of the coats. People have hats on, you know, slacks, you know, walking shoes. Nobody's in their pajamas and their gaiters. You know, this is all relatively dressed up when you go out. You didn't just wear your pajama bottoms and your gaiters and stuff. You had to have a belt on, you know, and stuff. It was a different, you know, definitely a different time. You know, I would think of that, too, of like I was like teleported and I'm walking around in my yoga pants or something. It's like, what's up with this guy? You know, so here we have this actor, you know, advertising the show. And he, for all practical purposes, looks nude under his sandwich sign. It's pretty hilarious, you know.
Russell's work isn't just paintings of Anchorage landmarks that would sell to tourists. He has a deep connection to the city, its people, and the places that made Anchorage what it is today, for good or bad.
You know, I think all of these paintings are really special to me. The Garden of Eden is right around the corner from where I live. The building is still there. It's not operational. And Fireside Lounge was an incredible institution back in the 50s and 60s. They had their back bar was full of firearms and stuff. You know, Billie Holiday came up here and two people showed up for her. You know, I mean, that's the whole crazy thing about life. You know, it's like nobody knew who she was, right? And so you know, you just kind of pass those up. You know, Center Bowl here, that's the middle of Minnesota Drive right there. It was a parking lot, you know, one time. And as time went on, as I had kids and, you know, settled in, I felt a lot more responsible for our city. And I feel very depressed about how things have gone. And so that's what got me going Feeding the Unsheltered and trying to do something, engage my community to do something about it. I do fear for our city in a lot of ways. I do fear for the sort of chronic narcissism that exists with people and their phones and their sort of their egos and this, the lack of generosity, the, you know, people just driving around people who are passed out in the street or in the bike trail and not checking on whether or not they're dead or not, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, we've kind of forgotten a tenet of Alaska, you know, is like you stop for people, check on them, make sure they're okay. You know, just drive past and hope for the best. And a lot of that sort of old Alaskan spirit is still here, but a lot of it's been diluted.
Looking back, Russell admits that it hasn't always been an easy road, but he's proud of what he's accomplished.
And so I'm, you know, 67 next week, and, you know, I'm thinking of things in a lot of different perspective. Looking back, looking at this show, you know, a lot of these paintings are 30 years old. You know, you know, not so much I'm just self-absorbed, but it's really great seeing all of this work together and realize all the different, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Despite the urban setting of the work in the exhibit, Russell wanted to provide a space where visitors could relax and reflect while listening to music on an old-fashioned radio preset with songs.
Well, I wanted it to be like my living room. I wanted it to be reduced from the white walls of the museum. And this is like real, to me, this is like real life. And you know, the songs that I chose were kind of melancholy. Evelyn, this one song by Quinn Christopherson about his neighbor who's going out with an older a boy who's older than she is. And that's Fairview, man, or that's some little neighborhood where kids don't have like supervision, and they make the wrong choices. They're hanging out with people they probably shouldn't be, and you know, making poor choices and going down that road. You know, it's heartbreaking. You know, but it's real. It's real time, and none of the stuff that I have here is provocative in the sense of oh, tragedy or anything. It's just like it's just integrating people into places, and that you'll, you know, it's just like nothing exceptional in that respect, but it touches on folks because it's relatable, you know, and it's not ethereal. It doesn't take interpretation. You know, I think a lot of people are able to relate to it.
Watch my hair blend in with the sky. Evelyn, don't need a man to have a good night. I watch your hair blend in with the sky. Evelyn, don't need a man to have a good night. I watch your hair blend in with the sky. You were going so fast.
That was artist Duke Russell. His exhibition at the Anchorage Museum is called Everyday Anchorage. It'll be on display through August of next year. We close things out with Quinn Christopherson's Evelyn. And that's all for State of Art. I'm Ammon Swenson.
Thanks for joining us today for Hometown Alaska, and thanks to our guest, Daisy Nicholas. Ammon Swenson produces this show. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Kim Sherry. Thanks for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.